Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. We want to encourage you to write your Bible questions into our program that we might answer them on the air. You can send any Bible question on any biblical subject to the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. We will endeavor to answer that question on the air and give you a Bible answer for that question. We also cordially invite you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given meeting time for our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we begin with a question concerning the thief on the cross. The questionnaire asks, explain why baptism, as taught as being essential and necessary for eternal life by the Church of Christ, is true considering the thief on the cross. That's an interesting question, and I've been asked this question many times, and it's a fair question, and I want to give a biblical answer to it. Let us begin by reading the account in Luke chapter 23. In Luke 23, we'll begin reading in verse number 39. Then one of the criminals who had were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's amazing how much play that this exchange on the cross with the Lord and the thief has been given, and how much misteaching has been done by what is contained in the words that we just read. Now, the question I'd like to ask to begin with, is this a legitimate question, or is this a dodge to try to get around the subject of baptism? I don't know that, and I'll leave that with the questioner. But it's one that I would think that needs to be considered is why the question is asked. Number one, the first thing we must consider is the power that the Lord has. In Matthew 9 and verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus told them that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin on earth. We know that only God can forgive sin, and yet we know that Jesus Christ was God, therefore he could forgive sin on earth. We also know on many different occasions that Jesus was able to know what they were thinking in their hearts. When he healed on the Sabbath, and they were trying to find some fault with him, he would say, "Why do you reason evil in your heart? Is it more reasonable to forgive sin or to heal on the Sabbath day?" How did he know what they were thinking in their heart? Because he was God. He can look at the heart. He's the only one that can. We're told that he judges not by appearance, but he judges the heart of men. Read 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. And so, first of all, understand that Jesus had the power to look into the heart of the thief and to know what was truly on his heart and truly if he was repentant. The second question that must be answered is, what law did the thief live under? Did he live under the law of Christ or did he live under the law of Moses? Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse number 14. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. We see that the law was nailed to the cross. That when Jesus died, the law died. We also understand that the law of Moses was to last until all was fulfilled. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5, Verse 17, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And then in Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. You see, when those things were done that were fulfilled in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning him, then that law was taken away. And notice, repentance and remission of sin should first be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so, the law of remission of sins did not begin to be preached until the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. But the law was nailed to the cross in Colossians 2, verse 14, at the death of Christ. And so, what we have is the thief lived under the law of Moses. Therefore, the law of Christ in baptism for remission of sin was not applicable to the thief because he didn't live under the law of Christ. He was still alive when Christ was alive. When Christ was speaking to the thief, the law of Moses was still intact. It did not die until he died. Also remember, what law did the Lord keep while he was on earth? He kept the law of Moses. That's why the Jews were always trying to find fault with him within the law, so they could show that he was a lawbreaker. But he kept the law perfectly. And so the thief lived under the law of Moses. So the law of remission of sin and baptism for remission of sin did not come in until the day of Pentecost. He was not under that law. But the more legitimate answer is that the Lord had the ability to forgive his sin because the Lord could look in his heart and had the power to forgive sins on earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hanging on a cross and the Lord speaks to you and forgives your sin, then that's between you and the Lord. But this scenario cannot be duplicated today. No one's hanging on a cross, and the Lord is not here. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. And so we don't have the same circumstance, and we don't live under the same time period. And so the thief is not an example of how to be saved. The thief is an example of God's power on earth, the Son, to forgive sin. It's not an example of how one's to be saved, because that scenario cannot be duplicated. No one's hanging on a cross, and Jesus is not here to forgive sin on earth, and men are not under the law of Moses, they are under the law of Christ. So, the answer is, the thief of the cross was saved by Christ, but he lived under the old law. He didn't need baptism because he didn't live under the law of Christ. Therefore, it is not an avenue and it is not a way to get around baptism because the thief wasn't baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. I wanted you to consider one other thing before we leave this subject. Number one, how did the thief know about the kingdom of God? He said, remember me when you come into my kingdom. He also knew that this one had done nothing wrong. I think a lot of people assume that this thief wasn't baptized when we don't know. Could he have been baptized with the baptism of John? We don't know. We knew that he knew about the kingdom, and we knew that he knew that Jesus was not guilty of any sin. How did he know that? How did he gain that information? That's an interesting question, and be one I would like you to think about. Now, last this morning, we want to look at a question dealing with an alleged contradiction. It says, it is a contradiction concerning the passages of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 and Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul would write to the church at Ephesus that there was one baptism. In Hebrews chapter 6, and in verse number 1, it talks about the elementary principles, and then in verse 2 it says the doctrines of baptism. And so their question is there a contradiction? Paul said there is one, and the Hebrew writer says there's a plurality. Well, is this a contradiction? And the answer to that's no. Here's how you reconcile the two. There are many baptisms given in the Bible. The baptism of John was for repentance. It's discussed, and an example of that is given in Acts 19:1-5. We also have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is not a commanded baptism. It is a promise that was convened in Acts 2 on the Jews and in Acts 10 on the Gentiles. We also have the baptism of fire that John the Baptist said would follow him, that one would baptize with water and with fire in Matthew 3:11, and that's the baptism of judgment. And then we also have the baptism of suffering, referred to Jesus himself, that he would undergo in Matthew 20:22-23. That baptism of suffering was the things that happened to him on the scourging and the death upon the cross. He was overwhelmed. He was immersed in suffering. That's the baptism of suffering. Yet all those baptisms are not the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5. In Ephesians 4:5, those are the platforms of unity. If you also remember, talked about one Lord, one faith, one body, one hope, one God, one Lord. Those are platforms of unity. The reason that these are not contradictions is the doctrines of baptism were elementary principles. Those were things that were taught within God's Word. None of them are in effect today. The baptism of John went out with the baptism of Ephesians 4. The baptism of fire is yet to come when those who have been disobedient will be judged. And the baptism of suffering was done by the Lord and then by the disciples who suffered after him by their faithfulness to him. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a baptism of today. It was a promise that was fulfilled in Acts 2 and in Acts chapter 10. And so there is only one that remains. There's one that remains that brings a person into Christ. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." What baptism was he talking about? He wasn't talking about the baptism of John, because that's no longer in effect. Not talking about the baptism of fire, that's yet to come. Not talking about the baptism of suffering. And he's not talking about the Holy Spirit baptism. He's talking about water baptism, that every conversion example in Acts, each of them went to the water. In all nine accounts, all of them ended at the water. That's water baptism. Why? That's when one contacts the blood of Christ, according to Romans 6:3-4. That's where one puts on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. And that's when one is buried with Christ and spiritual circumcision is accomplished, the cutting away of the sin, Colossians 2:11-13. So there is no contradiction. There are doctrines of baptism in the Bible. There are many talked about and discussed. Yet there is only one baptism in Ephesians 4 that can save today, and that's water baptism done in the name of Christ for the remission of sin, that we might contact the blood of Christ. You see, you just need to understand the subject matter that each writer is talking about. The Hebrew writer is talking about a different subject matter than the Apostle Paul is talking about in the Ephesian letter. And so there is no contradiction, it's just a difference of subject matter. And so there is still only one baptism. We suggest that you submit to it for the saving of your soul. Have a good day.